back with episode 793 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville. Boy, do we have a lineup this week.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, we have, once again, 2 weeks' worth of episodic discussion to get through in some interesting comments from our friend Edmund, and certainly some great material these last couple weeks. It seems like now that we're in the spring season, we are getting a lot of great material out there, and we're also getting some interestingly controversial material, but we'll get into that soon enough.
Yeah, you know, I was wishing that I'd get ill for a few days to catch up on all my shows, and I really didn't mean to deliver so well, but I was ill for a few days and caught up on everything.
Well, hopefully you feel better now, or
yes,
a little bit more on the mend. I know how that goes. This has been one of those seasons, as we've noted before. But yeah, wow, a lot of things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. How about you, Gary? Any good highlights that you want to bring out?
Let me think. I wish I could say my previously fever-ridden brain has not forgotten everything. So if you can talk for a second, John, I'm just going to gather my thoughts, but I do have a few things.
Okay, no problem. Well, basically, one of the things that I've been up to the last couple of weeks is, I think I mentioned before that there was a book based on The Flash that had come out called The Haunting of Barry Allen, and I'm a good ways towards the end of that particular novel, kind of slowed down in the middle. No pun intended, but it's still doing pretty well, especially when I compare it to the third season of The Flash. It seems like this book is a little bit more like the show that we want to watch than sometimes the show that's on the air. But you can talk more about that later. Beyond that, I've also been spending an awful lot of time playing a certain game, but I'll wait a little bit before I get into that. But let's see. Beyond that... really, it's just been there's so much good material on right now that it is just... It's not that I have to keep up, it's that I want to keep up. I want to be watching a lot of this stuff. And then when I see what's coming out just in April, the things that are starting, we've got some shows that are coming back, we've got all this other stuff, so I'm just trying to keep up with all the things that I want to actually be watching. And it's definitely difficult. But one thing I did also do in the meantime, I'm a little bit scattered myself, I did watch a couple movies last weekend. Since we did have the weekend off from recording, the one that I watched, which was in preparation for, I was kind of hoping I could get both of them in between before we recorded, but I watched the original Ghost in the Shell anime movie.
My daughter went today without me. I was quite upset.
Yeah, we're going tomorrow. So, couldn't quite fit it in today, but... I did watch the original just so that I could be reminded of certain things, because I know, you know, even watching the trailer, that there are some scenes that are directly out of that original. It's like, bring it to life. It looks great. I really just want to see if they can deliver this one, especially after my severe disappointment in both the Attack on Titan films as a representation of that particular property and the Assassin's Creed film.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, John, once again.
Dropped the ball big time on that. Oh, boy. Which, funny enough, I don't know if I even put it on the news roll. No, I didn't. They are now talking about putting out a TV series for Assassin's Creed, and I say, guys, I sure hope that you learned your lessons from the flop that was the film on just about every level, so please learn your lessons there. Let's see. Beyond that, I also watched, because we had finished the rewatch of the Twin Peaks television series. So just to keep in these kind of mind-bending mood that we happened to be in at the time, we went right from Ghost in the Shell to Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me, the prequel film.
Yes.
Which I have to say, I mean, I know that it was a film that had hours upon hours of material that then had to get cut down, but... I remembered it being a lot more coherent than it was this last time I was watching it.
Did you watch the same movie as me? Because, you know, usually Twin Peaks and coherence don't meet up the block. Yeah,
maybe so. But I may have been filling in certain blanks with my knowledge of scenes that were cut or something, because there were things that I could have swore they were going to happen and they never actually were on the screen when I was watching it this last time.
Well, remember, they had a lot of material for that. There was, besides an audio version of it, there was one or two different spin-off books. I think there was a photo book with it, which included cut scenes.
Yes. There is out there, and it's not like it actually, you know, forms a story unto itself. There is an entire 90 plus minute compilation of all of the scenes that were filmed for the movie that never made it into the final cut. So there is literally a second film's worth of material that was released. It's out there. that was not an, so basically we are watching half the movie. Now the plot, I mean, it is what it is. It's not exactly a complicated plot, so it is coherent in that sense. But what I mean is that there are certain connective tissue that I was like, wait, that's not there. That's not there. Because again, it's like over the last 25 years, you kind of fill in the blanks. If you're a huge, you know, fan of the show and the property and the franchise, like I was, you kind of look for every nook and cranny to see if you can get one extra piece of information. And that's why I think it's amazing. And still just, now that the excitement is really gearing up, that it's actually happening. There's a third season of this coming out.
And not only that, but with Lynch and so many of the original characters, I'll admit to being a fan, but I wouldn't call myself a rabid by any means. But just the thought that the original creativity can flow once more in any way whatsoever is staggering. Although that being said, my daughter is starting to watch it, and she's asking me questions, and I explain things to her. And I really am explaining them, and she doesn't make sense to her, and she doesn't understand it. And she asked me, can I explain it another way? And I said, no, really, this is the best way to explain it.
Yes, this is good as you get.
And I said, oh, I even got some stuff. So I'm still trying to find my I had cassette tapes with Agent Cooper leaving messages for his secretary.
Yep. Yeah, I had that one, too.
And I'm looking for that one, although my wife still won't let me put up my washed up dead Laura Palmer poster back up.
Aww.
You know, but she's got the nice gravel in her. Well, anyway.
It's very, you know. Yeah.
I knew one day it'd come back. I knew it'd come back. It was just.
I still can't believe it myself. Yeah, I had all that stuff too. I had the cassette that was all the audio performance. He got a Grammy for that, you know.
No, I did not know that.
He got a Grammy for that.
And he deserved it. That was great.
It was an amazing performance.
Yeah, it was. It was great audio entertainment. You know?
Yeah, I had that. I had The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer that came out.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that one.
It's still somewhere down here. I had the, I think it was called The Autobiography of Dale Cooper, or it was some kind of thing where it kind of explained his backstory better.
Yeah. Was it unauthorized?
It might have been.
Yeah.
But no, I kind of remember that one was an official one that came out.
No, I meant, but it was like titled unauthorized or something.
Yeah, it was something like that, right? They even had like a travel log book, like, you know, these travel books that they have in the bookstores. They had one for Twin Peaks, so I have that somewhere. I think anything that came out that was even halfway official, I threw out there, or that got thrown out there, I managed to pick up because, like I said, there'd be little things, little details that fleshed out some of these things a little bit better. And it really was just, like you said, the best way to really get into that is to just immerse yourself in it. So I can just imagine after watching the last 8 episodes of Legion, I think that was a good like lead up to what it's going to be like watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah, at least get your mind in the right frame. The right
something.
Yeah. Although for life of me, John, I'll tell you two things. I still never quite understand the backwards talking midget. And I bought 2 different bottles of maraschino cherries, and I'll be damned if I can figure out how to knot one of those stems. It just doesn't work.
I think it's just it. Even if you did, it still wouldn't be the same as Sherilyn Fenn as Audrey doing it.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We watched that, and it was like okay. Now, granted, that was my experience looking at it. For those who were seeing it for the first time, it was holy cow. That was a lot of, you know, extra information, and that, oh, wow, I never imagined it was that way from her point of view, and blah, 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 and I was sitting there going, yeah, but I remember all this other stuff. Where did it go? But there we are. Also, seeing Kiefer Sutherland in that film in the day, in the early 90s, after watching, like, 24 and Designated Survivor and going, wow, boy, time has passed. Time has. But I don't know about you, Gary, but I saw also that there was an issue of Entertainment Weekly that came out recently that had pictures from the new production, and they were scenes that were very specifically picked in order to, you know, in order to show the characters in the same spots that they were in, basically, you know, some of the iconic spots like the diner and so forth. And to see them then versus now is just amazing for that to imagine. You know, all the people who then have to complain about how long they've waited between seasons.
Oh, well, John, I am actually a subscriber of Entertainment Weekly, and I got cover number 2 with Agent Cooper, and I do have to say that Madgen still looks really nice in that waitress uniform.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's great to see her on Riverdale, but it's just not Shelley Johnson.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on then from that. Gary, I was going to say.
Oh, anyway. I've been actually ill under the weather, so I've been sort of confined to the house. But the two things that I did manage to do was I did rewatch Star Wars 7, and I have to say it just doesn't feel like it's holding up for me.
That would be Generations?
I'm sorry, Star Wars 7.
Star Wars 7. Okay, sorry, I was going to say, yeah, I can imagine Generations doesn't hold up. But so The Force Awakens.
Yeah, The Force Awakens. I've rewatched it again, and you know, Rey holds up, but Finn doesn't. If at least for me, the character just seems aimless, wandering. Seems to sort of change direction multiple times throughout the thing. It just seems a very. You know, the more I watch it, now that the sort of shock and awe is off, I really just don't enjoy the character that much. And at the time, I did. So maybe it's a maturing. And I do feel a little less angry about Kylo Ren. He was a little whiny before, but I think I'm starting to see just the hair more now. So I don't know. Maybe my opinions will continue to change in time. But it seemed stark how my feelings had changed, especially for Finn. So that was really interesting. And then also, my family is up against the digital wall, and my daughter specifically was panicking. And I said, "What's going on, honey?" Well, my daughter has been involved in an X-Files rewatch. Yes.
And?
I said, "Do you want me to tell you what happens?" She said, "No." I said, "Would it help if I said the aliens were a lie?" She's like, "Ugh." I said, "Would it help if I said they were true the whole time?"
Yeah, it's both.
Yes. Well, I didn't get that far with her, but yeah.
No, but that's where you're going.
Not yet, but anyway. So, but meanwhile, as I said, we're back against the digital wall. We don't own any actual copies of any of the seasons, so we were going where most people go to get back TV shows, Netflix. However, as of the day we're recording this today, Netflix no longer carries X-Files.
Yep.
And so we've been burning through for the past few weeks. We only made it up to season 5. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we're going to take a little break, and then we're switching over to Twin Peaks. So it's an interesting experience to watch Twin Peaks with your child who didn't exist the first time it was around. So
yep.
And Dad, do you know? Yes. Do you know? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Dad, why is it?
Yep.
It's a long story. How long? 2 seasons. But anyway, so we switched over to Twin Peaks until we can see what else pops up. Let me think. Anything else on the book front? We've actually been watching some Shakespeare lately. We just finished up the Ides of March that occurred last month. Spurred us to watch at least parts of Julius Caesar, which has been very entertaining. And I'm still trying to look for a copy of David Tennant's Hamlet. Hamlet can be a little bit dense, especially for people being introduced to it. So I figure the Tennant hook will be a nice hook for my daughter, especially, and possibly even my son. So I'm still trying to locate a legal version of it. So I'll have to wait and see.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting watching things with another generation when you watch the original.
Well, I enjoy watching the confusion on their face that I remember having the same thing.
Oh, yeah, for both properties. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to think that both of those shows, Twin Peaks and X-Files, how much they have influenced everything. And in fact, I don't think X-Files would have existed if it wasn't for that show. So even today, I think that Bronstam, in fact, we mentioned this before, but he said it a few times since, but just has mentioned how many things you could throw on the TV right now and look at what they are doing and ask yourself, would that have been possible if Twin Peaks had never happened?
Yeah.
I mean, you get shows like Wayward Pines, which are a direct, literal takeoff of it. Even something like Riverdale, we bring it up very often. So
yes.
There's a lot of shows that owe a lot to just the fact that they were willing to go that far. And what's interesting is to see the things that we found back then so amazing to think that it was being done on television. Things that we take for granted these days, but back then it was never done before. It was something completely out of the blue for a lot of people, myself included. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so the other thing that I was doing that I wanted to bring up is that I've been playing Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yes.
Long-time listeners know that I'm a big fan of the Mass Effect series, so I was looking forward to this one big time. And it's been out for, what, a couple weeks maybe? Not even. By the time this goes out, it'll be almost 2 weeks. And I've put in quite a few hours. And I'm maybe at the end of Mission 2. Because I've been immersing myself in the franchise again, and in the minutia that you can do in these games, and I'm having a blast. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and yeah, the just it's fun to go back in, and I, one of the things I wanted to bring up a little bit was the it's a little bit controversial because actually the game is not getting good reviews, or at least it's getting very average reviews, and I'm a little bit surprised by that because. Yeah, you know how people always complain when you take something that was really good and then they go ahead and change it? And people are like, ah, it's why couldn't they just do what they did before?
Star Trek, yes.
And then you get a game franchise like Mass Effect where they literally give you another game. And it is literally like the best things, at least gameplay-wise and mechanics, they're doing practically, you know, 95% of it is exactly like the like Mass Effect 1 and 2. Easily. I think it's very much like Mass Effect 2, which is one of the or is usually the one that people say is their favorite. And then they come back and say, why didn't you do anything different? Oh, you know, the conversations and the graphics look a little stilted during conversations. Why is that true? Well, it was always true. I played the games several years after they came out, and so I remember them perhaps a little bit better than some others do. But it to me, this looks like I'm literally playing the trilogy again. And I'm perfectly fine with that. This is what I signed up for when I was like, oh, cool, I get to have another Mass Effect game. I don't need it to be, you know, super, you know, changed up and updated necessarily. I'm perfectly fine with it being essentially another game just like the other ones that came out. I'm good with that. There are a lot of people who would basically say, just, I want more Super Mario. Make it just like the old games were. Or Final Fantasy, why did you have to change that? Make it the way that it was. It's the same thing with Mass Effect. Now they're doing it that way, and people are having a problem. Now there are glitches occasionally, and I may have encountered one today that won't allow me to actually finish a side quest for experience, which would really annoy me. But there may be a way around that, and that would be fine. But that happens in any game. I mean, when I played Lego Lord of the Rings, I played the heck out of that game. And I got to the very last gold brick, and the game glitched.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think I have like 99.3% complete. That still sticks in my craw, but it happens. But I've been enjoying it. I mean, I don't play the multiplayer stuff right now, but they even have an app that allows you to like continue to do side missions to gain experience and materials and money and so forth. And so every day I can play a few times a day. I go on, I send out teams on missions while I'm doing other things, and I can't play for real. And it's just nice to be able to do that and play another Mass Effect game. So I'm enjoying it. I think I'm not going to say it's a 10 out of 10. It's not like it's blowing me away with being like the best thing ever. There are other games this year that I'm sure that when I play them, I'm going to feel like, no, they're a more polished game. But this is a beloved franchise. I'm glad to have another game in it. I hope there's more. I don't know if how the story ends is going to allow for it, but I haven't gotten there yet, so I'll find out when I do. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. So that's been a big time sink. When I haven't been keeping up with all these great shows on the air, that's what I've been doing is playing Mass Effect Andromeda.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's see. That being true, and since we kind of have already stepped into a little bit of controversy.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Now, I really do wish that I could have Bronze Thumb here for this conversation.
Yes.
Because I know that he has a very strong opinion about this. And that is Iron Fist, the latest of the Marvel Netflix shows. And I'm going to be the first to say that I know that it has been just raked over the coals by critics and by fans alike. This is easily, if you were to say, is there a show or is there a Marvel property in the MCU that has not met expectations? We finally have an answer to that question. And I would say Iron Fist definitely is the one that has been the closest to a flop of any of them. I just happen to disagree strongly in the why.
Okay.
I don't think it's a great show. I think we'll get into some of the specific reasons why. But I'll just ask you, Gary, your thoughts when you're looking at this. What do you think are the reasons why this show is not particularly good? Or do you disagree with that?
Well, I've watched, I didn't mainline it, but I have watched several episodes, so I feel I have a somewhat informed opinion on it at this point. And, I think, Danny's characterization is, very poor. For a man who supposedly has basically been training with warrior monks for nearly 15 years, he seems to have this need or desire to be, loved. after we see scene after scene of them visiting upon him, with striking him with staffs constantly and bleeding, and you would think they would have worked that out of him by that point. Yet it seems almost pathological, this sense that he wants his former friends, not even really not actual family, to like him again. And no matter how they lock him up, no matter how they torture or otherwise hurt him or people that he's associated with, he still keeps coming back. It just it's really whiny and annoying, and somewhat not in keeping with the source material at all, which is very frustrating. Danny Rand in the comic books is a very confident, self-assured person who would be fine with a bag of $1 million in cash, or would be fine with a bowl of rice. The cash, you might realize, is a little bit better, but he's got rice. So he'd be okay either way. I sort of see what they're trying to do. They're just doing it horribly. They make reference every once in a while where he says, "It's about my name," but they really don't go anywhere with that, except to have him spout it once in a while. It's frustrating. You would think he would be a bit stronger about that. This whole it seems like they've tried to cram too much in to start with. I would have really loved to seen him work his way sort of back into American society and then spring this whole money family thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or do the money family thing somehow first or something. But we have the money family thing. We have him trying to reacclimate to the United States. We have the other partner who's supposed to be dead who isn't. We get illusions of the hand, and then we start hearing things about Danny about the hand. And I think they dumped a little bit too much too early. I really think they needed to play it out a little bit more. This would have been having for a Daredevil equivalent of having the Punisher start hunting Daredevil while he's dealing with all the crap from Kingpin at the same time. Mm-hmm. It just would have blurred everything too much. And that's almost, I feel, what they're doing here.
I think that we're pretty well aligned, although I do think that there are certain other aspects here that play into it as well. Here's the thing, right? I think there are a lot of the criticism is that, and this is going to be a slightly unpopular opinion, and if you disagree with either of us out there, please go ahead and give us the feedback. We actually feel like this is a really good conversation to have. But my take on it is what I hear a lot of people saying is that Danny Rand is such a just horrifically written example of white privilege that it almost is written in the opinion of many as a what's the word for it? I guess as advocation of such attitudes, and that the way that Bronstone put it a few times, because he's made quite a few comments on Facebook that I wish again he were here to actually discuss, because I think that he has a pretty strong point of view, is that this is a particularly loathsome individual who we're supposed to like. And on top of that, there has been, since the minute that the show was pretty much announced, a hue and cry against the fact that Danny Rand, of course, is played by a white actor and is a white character.
But the character is that way. He's not being, as we hear this little uproar right now about Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson. But, Daniel Rand has always been a white character. That was the point, that he was sort of out of his element altogether, that he thrived in an environment that was not his.
Yes. That's, going back to the original, and of course there have been a few different ways that they have tackled it since then, but that is exactly the point, is that this is not an example of whitewashing a character. And Bronson and I had this discussion when the casting was announced, or when the concept was announced, and there were, and he disagreed then too, and he felt that, there was merit in this whole argument of, they could have changed it to allow it to be a different, race or background, shall we say. Asian American is what a lot of people are throwing out there. And I still stand by the fact that that doesn't make sense to then make it an Iron Man or an Iron Fist story, because it's part of the makeup of the character. it's not as though there was an Asian character that was then cast by with a white actor. That would be more your whitewashing type of situation.
Yes.
You know, like basically Last Airbender, the entire cast. Just, okay, that kind of example.
And honestly, at least historically, the character is shown to be quite amenable to just about everybody as he goes on to, you know, form, you know, Heroes for Hire with Luke Cage, as well as Ms. Wang and Misty Knight. And they all work together as a team for, I think, about somewhere around 7 years, at least in the comic book. So, right. I mean, he's if you want to look at a guy who's for, you know, melting pot, this he was it.
Yeah, and that was back in the day. That was how it was done. Now, since then, I mean, there is some sense of awareness of the fact that you have this very rich white guy as the kind of, you know, martial arts, you know, savior of this Asian country or mystical land, you know, and so forth. And there is some awareness that was at the time in the 70s kind of made a lot of sense to a lot of people. But nowadays it does kind of read a little insensitive in many respects. And actually there have been some pretty good series since then that have actually been right on the nose on that. Right. And yes. And one of it is basically saying that, you know, one of the strengths of the Heroes for Hire group, and as you were saying, Gary, is that Luke Cage and Danny Rand are friends largely because both of them check each other on their assumptions about other cultures and so forth. That Luke Cage is there to basically bring Danny to task for his high-minded attitude, being a rich white guy, and he basically learns a thing or two from Luke, and Luke also learns, you know, a few things as well. They're basically meant to be together because they are effectively polar opposites from where they come from. And there's a lot of storytelling in there. I think where Iron Fist fails is not for having the character be true to its roots in that respect. I think where it fails is that it doesn't present a good character.
Oh no, I agree. That's, as I said, the characterization is horrible, and I'm trying to think. I'm through episode, I believe, 4 to 5, and he's barely past simpering.
I think you were absolutely right. Is what they needed to do, and this is one of those shows that we'll speak to it a little bit more. But for the most part, we're pulling the discussion in right now. Is that for me? Almost from the very start, I was starting to rewrite the show. Both in terms of dialogue and in plot and everything. I was going, I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have done it this way. It would have been a stronger thing. You didn't even have to change Danny as a character. But if you did it this way, he wouldn't have been nearly as insufferable.
Yep.
And I can see why people sit back and say, oh, the reason that he's so hard to like is because of his attitude. Yeah, it is. But there's ways to make him a more well-rounded character. And they just don't go there.
Maybe you're
supposed to like him. I think you're actually supposed to find him to be exactly what we consider him to be. But then you have to build a series around that better than to still. Basically, they took the central main character. They made him the protagonist. They made him unlikable. But at the same time, they gave you so little else to wrap your head around and dig into that you're left with the impression that so this is the best that we're supposed to get out of this show is this guy.
Well, you know what? It is the characterization, but instead of playing him as an adult unfamiliar with current American culture, they play him as an idiot, meaning like he's like a child being exposed to simple concepts like carrying two things at the same time, and it's like he's got this sort of deer in the headlights sort of look for almost everything he does, but rather than, you know, he might not know that he's got to, you know, go down the subway on the left side instead of the right side or vice versa. But, but he knows how to get up and down stairs. And I feel like the way that they're writing him is stairs. What are these things? Where the basic knowledge that he should have as a functioning adult isn't really there.
Yeah. There's little things like that, and it's inconsistent, like really inconsistent. And yeah, I mean, there are some people who will say, and I know that they're, you know, I'm coming down pretty hard, but that's because I really went into it with an open mind, and I feel like, oh, I'm seeing where this criticism is coming from. I just happen to disagree with why it is the way that it is. If you look at the characterization of literally everybody else on the show, it's equally bad. The writing is pretty bad in general. I know exactly what they're trying to go for. They're trying to go for the fact that the guy was out of civilization for 15 years and he's completely coming back a fish out of water. He was a young kid at the time, and they are basically playing him, like you said, that he's been emotionally stunted since then. I just can't buy it. Not after watching...
Well, that's the thing, though. I really... Well, in some ways, I don't... They're playing him as... Jeez, I almost want to say retarded. But, you know, this idea that he's...
That won't get us any comments either.
I know. Well, let me rephrase that. As developmentally slow, like he's hit his... Like he has brain damage or something. And
instead of being out of the
naive,
world for 15 years and naive, they're playing him as if he's terminally stupid. And
yes.
No, he's... In other times, he's completely... fine, but there's certain things that you can play him as being socially inept. That makes perfect sense. You can play him as not understanding the modern world. That's fine, but there are certain things that he does that it's just like, why are you punching yourself? The entire first episode felt like that, where he basically goes in and is insisting that people believe that he's Danny Rand come back from the dead. They're supposed to just take it on faith that he's doing this, and that he is who he says he is, and It basically, he keeps just doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And it's like, hey, maybe rethink this. I don't know. Try a different approach than a full frontal assault. I'm just watching it and going, you really do. It's the reason that people think that he believes that he is entitled to all of these, to everything, is because the way that they wrote him is that he doesn't know better than to think that people should just believe what he has to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not privilege, it's stupidity.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's blatant stupidity, and because you see it across the board, he just doesn't, he's like situationally unaware on a level that, I mean, we've been to conventions and such, we always see that one guy that is just completely out of his social element and has no idea how much he's offending people. This guy takes the cake. If he didn't have even some slight martial arts ability, he'd be getting his butt kicked on a regular basis just because he acts like a complete jerk.
Idiot. Yeah.
Out of pure stupidity. and that's why I was like, no, I don't think that this is because of the reasons that you think it is. I don't think the writers are trying to say that rich white guys are entitled to do whatever they want. I think they're trying to go for the fact that he's supposed to be a fish out of water, and instead they're playing it and writing it as he's a complete moron. And an entitled one, because he thinks, again, part of his stupidity is that he thinks people should simply believe him and take him on faith. It's not privilege. It's just stupidity. And now, as I said, the other problem that I have with the show, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, is that all the other characters, maybe Colleen Wing, what I've seen so far, is a bit better than the rest of them. All the other characters, completely atrocious.
Well, I'll disagree with you on one character, because I actually thought he was good. The doctor in the sanitarium, I thought, was probably one of the better characters I've seen so far.
Okay, and that is?
But it seemed that he actually was sort of fully fleshed out. He was inquisitive. He did his own fact checking, to discuss, find out the truth of Danny's story. And he seemed one of the few characters that didn't seem flat, that actually had some dimension to him.
Maybe it's just that he stood out against the other ones. I don't know.
That could be. But, you could
okay,
be right.
So there was the brother and the sister that I thought were some of the worst conceived characters and drawn out characters I've seen in a long time. And you know what? I'm going to say this too, because there are some people who would sit back and say, but you know what? Sometimes the writing can be bad, but the casting can be good. I got to say though, I think that everybody on the show was miscast. again, maybe Colleen Wing, but the main guy, he just does not convey strength to what the character that he's portraying. And I don't know if it's because his character is so badly written that he has no idea what to do with it. But I think that the two antagonists at the beginning of the show, the are they twins? I don't even know. I don't even care. The brother and the sister. The brother is basically so over the top, it's not even funny. They don't even try and give him any kind of subtlety. The sister just does things that I have no idea why she's doing them.
Very inconsistent, yeah.
Extremely inconsistent. And so I'm looking at this, and then the dialogue that they have to try to deliver is horrible. I'm just... what it feels like, in our friend T. Morris, who's out there on Facebook and so forth, that we all have interacted with over the years, really put it well, where he says, this show feels like, from start to finish, a first draft that was rushed to film. Mm. And it really does. It feels like they had 2 weeks to come up with the show, and they had about 2 weeks to film the whole thing. because there's stuff that just is rushed. It doesn't make sense. You had an entire episode about a guy in a mental institution, which is perfect for trying to dig into who the character is and his motivations, and I came away with absolutely no idea more than what I already knew when going into that episode.
No, none nothing. Whatsoever.
Learned yep. nothing. And that is just bad writing. And I think people have criticized the choreography for the fighting. I agree completely. Would it be good if it were done a little bit differently? Probably. But the fact is that you just had you've had two seasons of Daredevil and Luke Cage, and then you give us this for the martial artist expert. Daredevil could fight rings around this guy.
Yeah,
and he's blind. So. It's something to think about.
But yeah, Danny as a clueless child man is the biggest insult for me. It's just I'd rather him play almost like if you're going to an alien world where what are you supposed to use the three shells for? Ha ha ha. Versus bathroom. What do you mean bathroom? It's just there's a level of naivete that you could portray with a man out of culture versus someone who is not mentally mature, and they're going for that. It feels to me like they're going for the mentally mature versus the ignorant of the culture. So,
yes, I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. So, I mean, the thing is that when I first put this on the list, I was expecting, because I had only watched the first episode, and I was sitting back and thinking to myself, okay, maybe it improves, but I'm definitely not getting the vibe that other people are getting. I'm getting a different vibe here, and maybe I'm going to come out as, and you know how I am. If everybody is sitting there telling me how horrible something is, I'm going to probably go over the top trying to give it a chance, because I feel like any strong opinion one way or the other, there's got to be a pretty strong contrarian opinion that could exist as well. We all love the underdog, right? But in this case, I'm watching it. I'm going, no, it is particularly not great, but I think I disagree. Why?
Yeah,
I think it's far more than just the fact that the main character is supposedly a peon to white privilege. I don't think that's. I think it goes far deeper than that, and I feel bad for the actor to a certain extent because he's kind of having to go out there and defend writing choices that, he says something along the lines of, "Well, the intention is that the Danny Rand he'll show up by 2.5 seasons from now." And it's like, wow, you're going to start us all the way. Basically, why don't you just give us an entire trilogy about little Anakin from episode 1 and see how much we like that?
John, bite your tongue.
I'm going as far as I can go into the deep well of the abyss.
Anyway, but I agree with you on a bunch of things. It's got flaws, and Danny Rand being white is not one of the
least
bits.
Of all the ones I could think of
to throw on a list. That's, yeah.
Yes, you could have cast anybody in that role, and this would still have so many other problems.
A matter of fact, I think if you had cast an Asian in this, with the way that they write the character, people would have complained about how he's being played too simplistically.
Oh, well, I think that as far as that goes, somebody made a really good point, and it was that if you play this the straight-up Asian-American martial artist expert way, then that plays into the caricature of all Asians are masters of martial arts. And if you watch the show and you see the way that things go, oh yeah, that's exactly how it would have played. So I think this was a no-win situation in many respects because of the way that they chose to approach it. This could have easily been a very different show and a much better show. And that's why I sit back and I say, as fans, we're both probably sitting there rewriting it as we watch it. And he's saying, it could have been a million times better if you made this one small choice. And I think the central one is, play him correctly as a fish out of water. He knows certain things, he doesn't know others. The kid was how old when he was on that plane? I think he knows what a bathroom is.
Yeah.
But anyway, he knows how to use a freaking phone.
And an iPod.
Yes, and an iPod. He knows these things.
I missed the scroll dial, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah, don't we all? He knows those things, but he doesn't know that maybe you don't walk into a corporate high-rise and yell at security guards as if they should just take it on faith that you are someone who was supposedly dead 15 years.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I can't wait for him to try and figure out how to, deal with credit problems and so forth. The show is not particularly good. I'm sorry to say that because this was one, especially when everybody was prejudging it, and that's the part that I don't like in particular. prejudging it just based upon this whole conception that the character could or should have been Asian American or whatever else, just because it's about martial arts and it's about this or whatever else. Guys, this is what the property was. This is what the property is that they're adapting. Prejudging it that it was going to be horrible, I do feel like there are certain people out there, certainly some critics, I've read some really bad articles that just were completely missing the point, who basically came out and said that they knew that it was going to be bad from the minute that they heard how what it was about, and all this did was live up to its to their expectations. If you prejudge something so strongly that the minute it shows up, you're looking for the reasons why you should still believe that way,
well,
you're not criticizing it anymore. You're now in cognitive dissonance.
No, I agree. I read one report where it said a white guy doing martial arts, you know, screw that. I was like, wait a minute. You don't even know anything of the premise other than a white guy's that, and it deals with martial arts, and you're already, you know, basically bad mouthing the heck out of it. I was like,
yeah, you haven't seen one frame of the show, and you've already written it off as horrible for reasons that have nothing to do with the actual material. Now that we've seen the material.
They were completely justified.
Yeah, they're justified in saying it's not a good show, but it's for various other reasons. It's kind of like it's like you know, you shouldn't hate people for this particular reason. You should just get to know them, because then you'll find a whole lot of other reasons to really not like them. Yeah. It's that kind of thinking here. It's like no, don't prejudge it, because you never know. A great example would seem to be, although it's hard to tell for right now, and I'll find out for myself soon enough. Ghost in the Shell. A lot of people coming out of the woodwork, criticizing that as whitewashing. The creator of the actual property coming out and trying to school them on why that's not the case. A lot of people who don't want to listen and basically said, I know this is going to suck because it's an anime adaptation, and they cast Scarlett Johansson in the movie. Against all, you know, expectations, a lot of people, even some of the ones that were willing to prejudge that film, are coming out of it saying that it's a lot better than they thought, that this is a really successful film, that it stands on its own incredibly well. I'll find out tomorrow if that's the case or not, but to me, that's another example of, well, there are probably people out there who refuse to see that movie simply because Scarlett Johansson was cast in it and aren't taking into account anybody else's, including the creator of the freaking property, their opinions. And they're not even giving it a chance. They're not even saying, you know what, let's see how well they adapt this. No, it's horrible simply because of the casting. You got to be kidding. There are other examples that are so much more egregious and truly bad. Again, Last Airbender. Don't go see that movie. And part of it is that they rip out certain things about the story through miscasting. But that's, you know, that's a completely different situation. I'm basically just saying that with the Iron Fist, I think that the problems go much deeper. And I'll see. There are some people who say that there is some saving grace to it in the second half. We'll find out. Because this is a Marvel property, and I am.
You stay till the credits, I guess.
That's it. I stay to the credits and then after to discuss it. Anyway, we are kind of running a little bit long on this episode, longer than we have late recently. But I do want to round this one out with a couple goodbyes. This is not an in memoriam section, thankfully.
Oh, isn't it?
In a way, it is. Oh. Saying goodbye to Grimm.
Oh, I've been watching that show since the first season, and I've watched it nonstop. And for, you know, a show that managed to reinvent its premise multiple times throughout the years, who fought and clawed and actually got a chance to do a proper send off last season. And I won't spoil anything because we're not up to that episode. But I have seen the ending, and oh gosh, what a good job those writers did! I'm thrilled how everything came to a close so well.
That's
I won't cry.
Don't say anything more. I really hope that I do feel the same way. I've had my criticisms with the final season.
John, I will watch the scores, and don't make me come and hunt you down.
Okay, well, unfortunately, you know where I am, so...
Yes, exactly. Easy. There you go.
Also coming to a close is Black Sails. Maybe not as emotional a journey for everybody as Grimm was, but a show that really surprised me, because I thought, what, an extremely mature take on a prequel to Treasure Island? You're kidding, right? And I was surprised at how well they did with that show, and I am going to be sad to see it go, but they are really doing a great job in these last few episodes of tying it all together where it's supposed to go, and it really does feel like it's pointing directly to the events of Treasure Island, and I'm going, wow, this is impressive. And it's been a really great show, so I'll be sorry to see that go. But yeah, there are a lot of shows that are ending right now. Now that everything's in the year-round scheduling type of situation, you have shows coming to a close quite often. And Yeah, some very long-running shows are starting to come to an end. So, but we did want to say a fond farewell to Grimm, because yeah, that has been the little show that could, and that first season we weren't sure it was going to make it past 10 episodes, let alone a full season, and then wow, did it blossom into a much better show and a much beloved show before its end. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. When we come back next time, we're going to be getting into the first of two episodes worth of episodic discussion. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.